This afternoon, we checked to Faisal Hanif, who is a media analyst at the Center for Media Monitoring and has previously worked as a news reporter and researcher at The Times and the BBC. His latest report looks at how the British media reports terrorism. We speak to Faisal live from the United Kingdom. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thanks for having me, and assalam to all your listeners. I just want to correct you on one point. The latest report doesn't look at terrorism. It actually looks at the coverage of British Muslims and Islam in the British media between 2018 and 2020. So it's a two-year sort of study.
That's excellent and phenomenal, and we look forward to you sharing with us the information about that. So, you know, the situation has been such that Muslims have always been the target of the media from as far back as we can remember, you know, across the globe and in the UK as well. So why did you decide to do an investigation into this?
Well, I mean, the project started actually with the work of the director for the Center for Media Monitoring, an individual who goes by the name of Miqdad Versi. Miqdad was, I think, between 2014 or 2015, he was a reader of newspapers, and what he noticed was that there was, in headlines and in stories, there were serious fabrications going on. Headlines were sort of written in a way to misrepresent stories. And what he did was, by himself, he launched complaints to individual newspapers to get these things corrected. And what he noticed quite quickly was actually there was quite a lot of this going on, even though this was just one individual looking at simply the articles that he read. He wasn't looking through the entire media, just the ones he read, and there was still quite a number of these. And so he initiated a project, or the idea of a project, to look at this kind of stuff full time, because anecdotally, ever since 9/11, even before 9/11, because especially since 9/11, you've had this sort of barrage of coverage, both in broadcast media and print media, that demonizes Muslims and Islam. And it fluctuates depending on the news cycle and the event that's taking place. But overall, there was this theme, and everybody, you know, especially within the Muslim communities, they knew this anecdotally. But when you asked people for the evidence, or when you actually took this stuff to the newspapers, they would always say, well, where's the evidence for this? You keep saying this. And you would point out some evidence, and they would say, well, these are just a few news stories. We got this wrong. It's the first draft of history. That's what they normally say in journalism. It's the first draft of history. These things, you know, they're liable to mistakes. So I joined in 2018. We initiated this project. We formed a methodology alongside academics who had done some previous research on the representation of Muslims in the media. But nobody had done it to this sort of level that I wanted to do it to. So we formed this methodology, which had sort of 10 key metrics, and it measured. And what we did was we took 60 plus keywords that identified Muslims or Islam in some form. And that's everything from Muslim Islam to Sufism, Hajj, Eid, Wahhabism, you know, all of these terms that you would associate with Muslims in one sense or the other. And then we collated all of these articles and news clips and basically analyzed them against the metrics. And what that allowed us to do was look at an individual article or a news clip in its totality and rate it as whether it was for everything from unconfirmed to very biased. And we could look at individual aspects of the article or news clip. So we looked at things like generalizations, which are basically tropes about Muslims. We looked at due prominence, which is about whether the article or news clip has a relevant Muslim perspective or relevant Muslim voice, which we felt should have been there given the news story. We looked at negative aspects and behaviors, which is basically, you know, what are the Muslim characters or organization or the Muslim thing that's being represented in this news story. Are these people or individuals or organizations represented in a negative way? And also we looked at misrepresentation and headlines and imagery. So that gives you a sort of overview of exactly what took place over the last few years.
Yes. As you've indicated, you know, that this was a really comprehensive study that is spanned over a long period of time and very, very intense. The findings that came to the fore, you know, for yourself, Hazel, was it just now the affirming of what was speculated? Or was there any new things that was uncovered for yourself through this in a long-standing study?
Yeah, I mean, quite a lot of the findings confirmed what we sort of already knew. I mean, in some ways, I would argue that we've been fairly lenient with our methodology because, I mean, take, for example, one of our findings that almost 60% of all online news articles about Muslims or Islam feature a negative aspect and behavior. Now, the way that gets reported is all 60% of articles about Muslims are negative. It's not quite that because we never discriminated between an article that focused heavily on Muslims and one that had, for example, a passing mention of Muslims. Say, for example, an article mentioned Donald Trump's Muslim ban. With an article like that, you can't really assess much of it because it's simply a descriptive term. But we didn't really discriminate because then we felt we would get too much into the area of subjectivity. So if you were to sort of discriminate and take away all the articles that sort of passing mentions, that figure could potentially be a lot higher. So those kind of things where, you know, there was, in terms of, is most of the news negative about Muslims? Yes, of course. But then, you know, we could dig deeper into it. So where is this negativity coming from? You know, we measured, for example, we measured against 34 or 35 news publications. Four of those were the sort of what we call the wires or news agencies, the big ones like Reuters or AFP or AP. And what we found was the percentage of their news stories which were negative far exceeded the 60%. We're talking into the sort of late 70%. So what we could sort of say from that is, look, a lot of this negative news is actually coming from the initial sort of source, which is the sort of news wire. They produce the skeleton sort of news piece, which a lot of these news websites then take forward. So that's one of the problematic areas. You've then got, you know, what we classify as the right-leaning media. So what we did with all these sort of different news players we looked at was categorize them in terms of where they stood on a sort of ideological spectrum. So are they right-leaning, left-leaning, centrist? And it's not a perfect science, but by and far, I think using what other people have and other agencies have done, it's pretty accurate. So the right-leaning, for example, were more hostile towards Muslims and Islam. And then you get into different levels of sort of misrepresentations. So one of our categories of misrepresentation, what do we mean by that? You know, there could be misrepresentation about a Muslim or Islamic concept or theological concept, which is, which sometimes can be debatable, but from our point of view, it was a misrepresentation. But then you get, on the other extreme, you have Muslim individuals and organizations who are actually being libeled to the extent that they've had to go through the courts to take the newspapers or the individual journalists to court because of the coverage they've produced. And, I mean, what really I think gave us sort of credibility in that sense is we have a organization in the UK called the Independent Press Standards Organization, which is a body which has been set up by most of the different newspapers, which looks at or which allows for people to complain about any coverage of those newspapers. And the outgoing chairman of that a couple of years ago basically made a statement when he left his role to say he believed that the way Muslims are reported on in the British media, no other group would be reported on in such a way. So, I mean, all those sorts of suspicions were confirmed.
Yes. So, you know, it's good to have now the backing for that. But what happens next? Is there any way of taking this forward in a way that we change the way that Muslims are being reported on?
Look, it's a tricky area. I mean, I've worked in journalism. I still sort of consider myself as a journalist. So I don't ever want to get into the area of censorship or to tell other journalists that you can't say this or you can't do that. I've produced the report in good faith to say, look, these are areas you might want to consider. these are things which we believe from an Orthodox Muslim perspective that you've got things wrong, or you might want to look at them again because they could cause confusion. And then it's up to the individual editors and newspapers, etc., to make that change. I mean, one of the really good examples in the UK is a gentleman by the name of Gary Jones, who's the editor of a newspaper called the Daily Express. And before he took over the editorship of the newspaper, it was well known that Daily Express had a major problem with Muslims and immigration. And, you know, you could see from just a collection of their front pages over a 12-month period how bad this was. And when he took on the role, he acknowledged and he said, look, I acknowledge that my paper in the past has been xenophobic. It's been very problematic in its coverage, and I'm going to put a stop to that. So he made that almost like a mission statement. And to a large extent, he's kept his word. The paper no longer produces those kind of front pages. So we had two editors, the editor of the Sunday Times, Emma Tucker, and the editor of the Daily Mirror, Alison Phillips, who recommended our report and provided the forewords to it. So, if the change can come if people are willing to make that change, individual journalists in their copy and editors in their overall sort of outlook in their sort of publication. So let's hope things change for the better. I've certainly tried to make a sincere effort. So let's hope it's matched at the other end.
Certainly. Congratulations on the work. May Allah, Almighty Allah, reward you abundantly, and may we see the fruit of this, and may it be an impetus or a beginning point for some change. Jazakumullah khair for chatting to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.